Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You're listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, Aaron Stokes, Laurie Callis and Matt Ketchell from Match of the Day magazine. We were enjoying the intro, the anthem, as the players walk onto the pitch. It was welcoming us to this hour. We wanted the sound turned up. I won't say which fan wanted it down. And it was one Newcastle fan, not the gooner in the room, who they play on the first game of the Premier League season. Lots to talk about in the next hour. The latest with Mike Ashley. Will the fans boycott Saturday? Matt Ritchie's comments, of course. I'm sure the room may be split. And how Steve Bruce is getting on fan relationships. Is he endearing himself to the Toon fans, or is he still on the sour side, as I'm going to call it? We're going to be doing a little bit of a season preview, but we have to start at the top, of course. Welcome to you all. Thanks for joining us in the next hour. Let's start with, we have to start with Matt Ritchie's comments today. He said, and some have labelled him, and I'm going to call you out, because I did my research. I looked at one of your tweets, and you said, fair play to Matt Ritchie. He didn't duck the question. He answered it. An answer he did, and this is what he had to say. He said, I'll get it out, for me, we have to be in this together. I've said this since I arrived at the football club. There is a little bit of unrest, but the main thing I took from Bournemouth, and it is a smaller club, I know, but we pull in the same direction with the same philosophy, mentality and desire to help one another. That's what we need to do here. The fans, the staff, the playing staff, all as one, pulling in the same direction. It's something I'm passionate about. If we're in this together, we can be stronger, and the fans have to be with us and support us. Last season, we played Man United at home, and I got stick because the atmosphere wasn't great. But it's how I felt at the time. We have to move in a united front together. So Matt Ritchie there today. There are his comments. Some people are labelling an Ashley sympathiser. Laurie, you said an Ashley apologist. Ketch, I want to start with you. How do you feel reading those comments today?
Yeah, well, first of all, he hasn't ducked the question, which is a good start. You know, he's like Matt Ritchie on the pitch. It was a 50-50 tackle there. He's going straight in. It could have been easy for him to say, "Nah, I don't want to talk about the owner," but he's you know, it's a media day. He's obligated to attend. He's got to do media. They've asked him a question. He thought, "Ah, oh, sorry, I'm gonna answer this question." Second of all, players live in a bubble. He will live in Northumberland. He'll probably live in Darris Hall up in near the airport. He'll come to training. He'll go home. He'll spend time with his kids. He won't be on Twitter. He won't be on Facebook. He'll be focused. He'll be eating right, sleeping right, hopefully. Players live in a bubble. What I'm hearing at the training ground is the atmosphere is actually quite good. Rafa was a little bit oppressive during his time as manager. He ruled a bit with an iron fist. I think Steve Bruce is, you know, vastly different from Rafa Benitez, which we'll get to later. So the atmosphere is probably, you know, smiles, you know, Brucey will be arms around the lads. Come on, we're in this together, you know. I think the atmosphere will be quite good. He's a senior player. There's new players coming in. So Ritchie he isn't switched on with the clubs. I've been on Twitter today talking with people. Ritchie's not attending, you know, he's not doing banners. He's not going to the Irish Centre to talk about boycotts. He's getting on with the job, and he's just trying to rally the troops, get everyone together. Because the one thing this team has got going for it, it might not have the most ability. It's got team spirit. That's what's kept us up the last two seasons. He's just trying to get the atmosphere up. And I think he's just been a little bit misguided with a couple of things he said, you know, about the owner. He probably shouldn't be as specific as he has done, but all he's trying to do is unite the fans and unite the club, and he probably just wants to get on with it. He wants Sunday to come round, and he doesn't want to do media. So I say fair play, Richie. You're trying to do the right thing, and we all want what Richie wants, which is to win on Sunday.
I'd actually agree with that. I think you slightly mischaracterised what I said. I think, you know, he's got to make those comments. As we've said, he's an employee of the club, essentially. Like, Lascelles has made similar comments, which didn't have quite as much reaction against it for some reason. I'm not sure why that is. But these sort of people aren't going to be making comments against their employer. I'm more concerned about people like Schola coming out on Sky Sports and not toeing the line with the fans and not saying what we think, because he doesn't, like, I know obviously he's there coaching sometimes, but he doesn't have any reason to support Ashley in the same way that the players do. The other thing that I would say about Matt Ritchie is we've praised him as fans since he's come into the club for kind of changing that philosophy in the dressing room. He's been, you know, he's been like really important in, because when we went down, our team spirit was horrific. And under Rafa Benitez and Matt Ritchie has been really important in that. The team spirit has come back and you really feel like the fans weren't blaming the players anymore. And that's something that we were doing before we got relegated, as much as Ashley was always a problem. There was also a problem with players not really seeming like they were making enough of an effort. And I think now, if we're then criticising him for saying, oh, well, we want to go into the season with a positive attitude, we want to try and do best for the Newcastle United badge, that's almost kind of hypocritical as fans, because you can't criticise a player, a professional football player, remember, for trying to do his best for the team and trying to talk his players up.
I completely agree, but when I was reading, I saw your tweet, Ketch, and I read the replies, not necessarily to you, but from the original comments. A lot of people were labelling him, saying, well, you're not toeing the line, you're going against it, this isn't what the fans think, so why say this? But like Laurie said there, he is employed by Newcastle United, so he does have to say these things, whereas he not necessarily face himself out of a job, but he could be in trouble, couldn't he?
Yeah, completely. I mean, obviously it's not what fans want to hear. Fans that are so fed up with Ashley don't want to then come out and hear people defending Ashley, whether they work for the club, whether they play for the club. You know, it's quite poisonous now, you know, when anybody that... You saw what happened to Kevin Nolan when he spoke out about it. He went from, you know, club legend to villain in the space of 30 seconds. So Richie's been put in an impossible position, really, because he can't slag off the club. But then when he doesn't, you know, he's got the fans on his back. So, I mean, I think any player doing the media, whether it's Richie Lascelles, that, you know, they can't win, really.
Well, you talked about Kevin Nolan there, and he has come out, and like you said, he's lost the respect that he did have in those Newcastle fans. He, better than most, should know about the Newcastle fans, who was a part of that club, he was captain of that club. Why has he then gone and backed Ashley and supported him when he knows how the Newcastle fans feel? Ketch, you're smiling, I'm worried.
I don't know, the Nolan one was weird. I think he knew that the club was speaking to Sam Allardyce, and I thought he thought, hey, here we go, here's a number two job for me, and he's probably, you know, WhatsApp or on the phone to Keith Bishop, Ashley's PR people like this, and, you know, say a nice word for Mike. And I think the timing of that was Kevin Nolan thinking, I'm out of a job, I'd love to go back up to Newcastle, my family loved it up there, we had a great time up there, and I mean, he was maybe, you know, putting two and two together, thinking there might be something there for me, I'll say something nice about Mike. He was ill-advised to do that. But then again, Kevin Nolan's been out of the North East for, four or five years. So he's, you know, they haven't been exposed to it. Like, Richie hasn't been exposed to the 12 years of Mike Ashley. He's been there for a small period of time. So he doesn't feel the weight of Mike Ashley, you know, the negativity that he's brought to this club, the hopelessness, the helplessness, the apathy that Mike Ashley's brought on. So we're frustrated with Ashley much more than the likes of Kevin Nolan and Matt Ritchie.
Well, there is a negativity at the minute surrounding the club. There have been talks of a boycott. The Premier League kicks off this weekend to Arsenal. There's been different of opinions. Me and Laurie was talking about it last week, Aaron as well. I said, you know, the fans, whatever the problem, you know, they had Pardew for 7 years. They're committed to the team. They're committed to the badge. I believe they will still turn up. And Laurie said, this time it feels different. The fans don't want to be there. It's stronger about the Ashley out. Will this boycott happen on Saturday? Aaron, you said it has to be committed. They can't just not turn, do a protest till 2:55, then enter the stadium. If we're going to do one, it has to be stronger.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen over the last 12 years, you know, Newcastle fans have tried countless times to organise, you know, big mass boycotts and protests out Sports Direct. And yeah, they work, but if it's not sort of a, you know, week-on-week continued effort, then I don't think it will work. What I will say, though, is that, like me and Laurie touched on last week, it does feel so much different this time around. Losing Rafa Benitez was the final straw for so many fans. You know, someone who epitomised what Newcastle's all about. He saw a future for us all. You know, he wanted to take us forward. So, one, losing him. Two, bringing Bruce in. Three, the fact Ashley is again, you know, trying to sell us on this takeover dream, which is, you know, never going to happen. I think this is, you know, feels so much more different than other years. But like I touched on last week, you know, there was meant to be a protest in January. Almiron comes in a day before, it gets cancelled. You know, he spends 40 million on Joelinton and he spends 20 million on Saint-Maximin. If we get one or two more players in tomorrow, you know, for a bit of money, there is probably going to be another couple of thousand people saying, you know what, I was going to miss it on Sunday. But you know, how can I not go and watch five new players what we've spent £80 million on?
So has the feeling kind of already turned on that then? How many tickets have actually been sold for this weekend? Do we know?
Well, I'm hearing there's 30,000 being sold. So we're 36,000. So we're looking at, 15,000 empty seats. When the boycott news started going around, I was like, yeah, this does feel different. The last time we properly tried this was maybe Tottenham. We had a game at home against Tottenham, maybe 2013, 2014. And the ground was about a third empty. And it didn't really make a difference, and it was towards the end of the season, and it was kind of I'm wondering if this time it feels different because there's more social media, the noise is louder on Twitter and Instagram. So wow, this feels different. Everyone is going to boycott, but is that just because everyone's on Twitter and everyone's on Instagram, and that maybe that's why it feels different?
It seems more prominent.
I just think a boycott with Newcastle, we are too loyal for our own good. Yeah. And what is a boycott going to do? What's our match day revenue a year? 25 million? Say they lose a third of that, which would be amazing. Mike Ashley he just won't sign another player in January, and he'll just skim the wages off that. It won't. Everyone's going to hit Mike Ashley in the pocket. The boycott is not the way to do that. The way to do that, by the way, I think, is by joining the NUFC Trust, which I've done. That's a trust that their aim is to one day own a controlling stake in Newcastle, and they're putting down the foundations to do that, and they're giving people a voice. And you sign up for £1 for a year or £10 for lifetime, and it's run by some really competent people. Alex Hurst is the chairman. He edits True Faith. He knows business, and he's got an ear of the club. So that would be a more... That's what I'm doing, to be honest with you. I've invested in the trust, and I think that's a more effective way of doing it than the boycott. The boycott, I'd love to send a message for St James Park to be empty, but Newcastle fans are the last club that can successfully pull off a boycott. We're too loyal for our own good. There's a few signings come in, fans are going to go. And I think what you'll see at Arsenal is maybe a third at best empty. And I think the club can paper over that with, you know, there'll be a few dodgy camera angles, and then the gate will be, you know, the gate will be bumped up by, they can always fudge the numbers, can't they, by season ticket holders' numbers counting, even though they've not turned up and gone through the turnstile. So I think it's going to be about a third empty at best.
Yeah, I think the transfers is the thing in terms of, yes, last week we were saying we're going to get relegated. Since then, we've signed a couple of players. We've signed another one. And while, as well, the takeover kind of talks faded, you're sort of thinking as a fan, well, if Mike Ashley's going to be here for a long time anyway, if we can't necessarily do anything about it, we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot by not going to see these new signings who could, by fluke, be really good. You almost don't want to miss out on the one season where maybe we might just somehow actually have some really exciting players, like before Joe Linton scores 13 goals and sold in January kind of thing. So I think that's one aspect of it. I agree with the NUFC Trust thing, just in the sense that that's something quite permanent that you can actually do to try and make a difference. Like, we're looking well into the future there. Like, even if there's a third not there at Arsenal, that's going to be less and less throughout the season because it's just inevitable that that'll be the way. One thing that I think is interesting is you've seen, we've obviously already sold out our away allocation for Norwich. I know it's only 2,000 seats. We pretty much always sell out away. But I would say a lot of those people who are probably going away are the people who are definitely going to be hardcore boycotters for the home game. But it's just whether there are going to be enough of those hardcore people now that we have made a few signings that it will really affect Ashley.
Is it difficult for the hardcore boycotters when the few that then fall away, the maybe so-called casuals or plastics, you don't commit fully to a boycott, and then you're like, well, this is pointless because we're the only ones who ever do the boycotting, and if we're not a larger group, the message isn't stronger.
The only difference this time is I've got a few friends who are long-term season ticket holders, and they've said I'm not renewing, and that surprised me. The other thing is our season ticket system's a little bit complicated in that a lot of season ticket holders, maybe 20,000, are locked into a price freeze. So this is about halfway through its tenure. So if you signed up for this 10-year price freeze, your season ticket was frozen I paid about £500 a season, which is pretty good to watch a Premier League club frozen for 10 years. If you come out of that and come back in, you're having to pay about £200 extra a season. So He's got us. So a lot of people, that's 20,000 people, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of money.
And a lot of people will be waiting to see, well, am I going to boycott? On the fence? Oh, we signed a few players. I'll go to Arsenal, see what it's like. It's a big game. If it was, Norwich at home or something like that, maybe things would be different. It's a big game. It's on Sky. It's a very difficult game to boycott.
But it's also the perfect game to boycott. Sorry, Aaron, there. It is on Sky. The message will be visual across the whole country. People can see that Newcastle are taking this really seriously. Look at the empty seats.
Just what obviously Ketch said before, it's hard for Newcastle fans because we are too loud for our own good. Nobody wants to not go to St James's Park. Nobody wants to not go and watch the team. Nobody wants the team to lose. So to put fans that have been there 30, 40 years and to have them saying we're not going anymore, you know, nobody's doing this in a light-hearted way. If there is people on the fence and they end up going, you know, they shouldn't be criticised, you know, and there is sort of, you know, factions of people saying, well, if you go, you know, you're supporting Ashley, but it's not that. It's just for some people that is their life, you know.
It's every
Saturday,
life, yeah.
Every Saturday that is what they, you know, go to work for, so that you can go and watch football on Saturday. So it's a tough one, you know. It's not just as easy as saying, oh, well, we'll go or we won't go. For a lot of people, it's a hard decision.
It is a hard decision. Like I said, they'll be supporting the team, the badge, rather than Ashley itself. And that's the only way they know how. Next, though, we'll be talking about the season preview and how the team is actually shaping up.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins. I've been joined by Aaron Stokes, Matt Ketchell from Match of the Day magazine, and Love Sport's very own Laurie Callis. We were just talking about the fans boycotting the opening game of the Premiership, a little bit about Matt Ritchie's comments. Before we look towards the end of the transfer window, just less than 24 hours to go now before the window closes. Newcastle have done some business. Will they do more? We're going to be doing a little bit of a season preview, but I just wanted to ask Ketch you first, because I did ask Ari and Laurie last week, the whole Steve Bruce is in, Rafa's gone. How are you feeling about Steve Bruce at the helm?
Not very good.
We've gone from
Rafa Benitez to a guy who's managed Sunderland. And don't forget, he lifted the Premier League the year we came really close to winning that league. He was the captain that lifted that. He's been described as Mr. Man United. It's a really lazy, you know, from Ashley to go, he's one of their own. Mm. It's a total insult. And Ashley has just exposed his own complacency by going, oh, we'll get Steve Bruce, he's a Geordie, they'll love that. It's just he cannot read us at all, Ashley. He's so insulated for us. He thinks he's doing us a favour by bringing Steve Bruce in. So he had Rafa Benitez in his lap. There's an image. He had one of the top 15 managers in the world ready to take this club and improve us, and he's missed a massive opportunity, and now he's doling out cash to Steve Bruce, who was managing Sheffield Wednesday in the Championship, doing not doing great, just doing average. He struggled with a pretty good Villa squad and lost that job, and then Villa came up. It's just mind-boggling that he's in our dugout. And no one from his ex-clubs has got a good word to say about him. So that's where we are with Bruce. What we need is for the season to start, and the only way he can win us over is by winning games, and I think that's going to be difficult. I'd love him to do it, but that's the only way he's going to win us round. And the biggest moment of his Newcastle career will be when we play in the League Cup. What team does he put out? If he puts a strong team out in the League Cup, that's different. If he bows to Ashley and rotates and puts a weak team out, because the only chance we've got of winning anything is the EFL Cup or the FA Cup. We're not going to win the league. We're not going to challenge for Europe. We need a chance for cups. We need to get a Wembley. We need to have a cup run. We've not been past the FA Cup fifth round since 2005. So that is the biggest moment in his Newcastle career. He probably won't get sacked before that. It's in a couple of weeks, the second round of the League Cup. So he alluded to it in one of his interviews. We're going to go. He said something along the lines of we're going to try in the cup, and that's a big indicator of where we're at. If he puts a weak team out, if he rotates, then we're just exactly where we've gone backwards. So
well, that does bring me to the next question: can he win you round? Because you just said I would love it if we start winning, we go for a cup run, and you've mentioned all the things there, a little bit of water under the bridge. But can he actually turn it around? Because you did say, you know, there's a happy atmosphere at the training, sort of Steve Bruce arm around players. Is there a small window of opportunity for Steve Bruce to turn this around? I'm not saying that he's going to be the Geordie's favourite son and, you know, Steve Bruce, let's get the posters out of him, the banners, but can he just almost stop the, I don't want to say hatred, but the dislike of him at the minute?
He can. Bruce can. And like Cash said, as soon as he wins the first couple of games, right, the fans will be on side. Like I said last week, and I don't mean it in disrespect for you, it's just they're fickle like that.
That's not Newcastle fans.
All fans
aren't fickle,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, a couple of wins and it's all rosy again. Yes, the atmosphere, you know, the word coming out the training ground is that it's all good. The players are happy, you know. Some of them say they're happier than they were under Benitez. But what we're forgetting is it's all well and good having the arm on the shoulder, but this is Steve Bruce. He has not been appointed to a Premier League team since 2009. He has not managed in the Premier League since 2015. Like you say, he struggled with Villa when he should have really took them up. Didn't do anything with Sheffield Wed. He's got the worst goal difference of any Premier League manager who's managed over a certain amount of games. It's all well and good saying, yes, he's a Geordie and he's got the players on side, but when you've got a tactical like wizard like Rafa Benitez, who was keeping that shoestring squad up, and you give it to Bruce, it's got disaster written all over it. The players that have came in, I will say, do look all right, to be fair. Joe Linton has started well in his first two games. That Saint-Maximin looks like he's tricky and like a player that fans are going to want to see. But it all goes down to who's in the dugout. And for me, Bruce isn't a Premier League manager anymore. And it's just such a step back to go from Benitez to him.
I would agree with that. I would say I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if we start the season better than people expect, because we do have these signings that, as Aaron said, Joe Linton's looked good in pre-season. Maximin looks like someone who has a bit of flair, could make a difference coming off the bench, and we all know how much of a difference Almiron made to our football last season, where he just kind of linked up the defence with the attack and allowed us to counter-attack. So I think it could almost be a little bit of an opposite to the last couple of seasons, where we might start well and just kind of by virtue of the signings that we've made, we score some decent goals on the counter-attack. We look like, oh, we actually do have some ability. And then the sort of tactical inability of Steve Bruce might get found out as the season goes on. And I think, as you know, from January in the last two seasons, we've kind of been on the ascendancy. I think the further the season goes on, we'll struggle a lot more this season.
The other thing is, if we get a bad result against Arsenal, if we don't pick up points at Norwich, it will unravel quickly. The atmosphere, it's on edge at the minute. If things don't get off to a good start, he's gonna be an uphill battle straight away.
Go on, Aaron.
I know we're obviously going to touch on it later on in the show, but those first six games, Arsenal, Spurs and Liverpool are three of the six. The other three are Watford, Norwich, Watford, Brighton. So if we're not picking up points in those three winnable games, that first six games, it could literally have all just unravelled. And we're talking about like probably mass boycotts on that stage, because there's nothing Ashley can do before January unless he sacks Bruce. So that could be when, you know, fans really do start to walk away from the club.
But is this how much the boycott is really on a knife edge? And it doesn't really help that boycott, because you get those few wins, the boycott sort of ceases to happen. You don't, and it unravels, and then the boycott never happens. But really, either way, what the fans are wanting and saying is the boycott should happen either way, because, yes, we want results, but it's not about results. It's really about Mike Ashley not being at the club.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I was daydreaming slightly there.
I'm not that boring, am I?
I was just thinking about some kind of parallel universe where we start kind of out of our skin, play absolutely amazing, Solskjaer loses the Man United job, and then Steve Bruce gets tempted away to go to Man United because, you know, that's where he plied his trade, and really he's a Mancunian at heart.
It could happen, Steve Bruce at United. But let's talk about those six games then, and we're talking about the season ahead. You've got Arsenal, obviously, this Sunday. Then you're away to Norwich, then Tottenham Hotspur, another London team, then Watford, Liverpool, Brighton. Looking at those six games, let's just look at the season in those six games. When the fixtures come out, how were you feeling at those six games? Or was it more like, whoever we're facing, there's so much drama at the minute, it almost doesn't matter?
The fixture day kind of passed me by because we were still all stressed about Rafa. Is he staying? is he going? Arsenal at home was really interesting. And there was still takeover talk at that stage. So I live in London, but I booked up. I was like, I'm going back for the first game of the season. We'll have new owners. Rafa will have stayed. We're going back. This is it. And it hasn't quite happened, has it? So Arsenal at home, right, it's a really interesting one. Because I think Arsenal are going to give up chances. And you never know.
Arsenal are going to give up chances. Not you think.
You haven't strengthened the defence, which is madness. It's really very Keegan-esque, actually. And I think there's going to be chances. Imagine we get the first goal. You know, the 30,000 inside St James's Park will be roaring us on. And stranger things have happened. A draw would be a massive result. You know, this is football. This is why we're all buzzing about the new season, because anything can happen. Anyone can beat anyone, even Steve Bruce's Newcastle United.
And can I just say, it could be Mustafi and David Luiz at the back at this show.
Well, we don't have time for that, but we are talking about, we're going to preview the Arsenal-Newcastle game, of course, a little bit later. But, you know, anything can happen in that game. We do know that. But you've got to look at that. You just think, you know, we could get a result there. We're going to get chances. We could play. It's not a bad time to play Arsenal. But you mentioned the fixtures going by then and how you thought it was going to be happier days. Rafa will be here. We've got the takeover. How was it when you just sort of sunk back to reality then, Ketch or Aaron Laurie, when it's sort of same old Newcastle, nothing's really ever happening for us?
It's hard to get excited. Normally, I would be looking at the fixtures, analysing, first six games and get some points there. It's really difficult to even look at the fixtures, and it's just depressing, really, to think about it. I'm not really looking beyond Arsenal. That's a big game. Norwich is kind of like a must-win game. We've got to get something from that. And then, you know, let's see how we go. Everyone's kind of comparing this to the McLaren season, where we didn't really want McLaren, and he was an unsuccessful manager coming in, and he got loads of money. And that team was massively inconsistent. When we lost big. You would go and lose 5-1 away at Palace, but then sometimes you would get, you know, win away at Spurs and stuff like that. I think we're going to have a massive inconsistency, and the team dynamic shifted a bit. We're getting these players in like Joel Linton and St Maximin. These are impact players, whereas under Rafa we're playing as a team. He's buying pieces to fit the puzzle as a collective. So I just think it's going to be a massively inconsistent season.
In a strange way that Newcastle were playing Arsenal, there was talks of the sort of fans coming together. Arsenal had their own fan movement this summer. We Care to You, with the whole Cronkies out. They feel like they was being disenfranchised from the club, alienated from the club that you support. And there's sort of, now that Newcastle and Arsenal are playing together on match day one, there was sort of a semi-coming together of the fans, weren't they? Newcastle fans on Twitter telling Arsenal fans I know on Twitter, avoid the... Don't drink in the stadium. Go to the Greggs over the road. Don't spend your money at St James's Park. It's kind of a weird way, but the fans could come together this Sunday, couldn't they?
Yeah, completely. I mean, we were obviously talking about it last week. It seems, you know, we had, you know, us moaning about our troubles and Arsenal moaning about their troubles winning the Europa League. But it is all relative, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, Arsenal are, or should be, you know, a Champions League team. And the fact that, you know, of the top six now, you're looking at which one of them's going to drop away, it is probably going to be Arsenal. So, I mean, if you had to ask us who I'd rather support on the first of the season, I'd probably say Arsenal. I mean, you've just spent £72 million on a player, but I get the sentiment, and obviously Arsenal fans are used to challenging for the title, never mind just being top four. So, obviously, you know, I'm not going to complain that they're complaining, you know. It's just, and I do feel like there is sort of a bit of a mutual understanding there.
Well, I think you've hit the problem on the head there, because people don't understand. They look at Newcastle and Arsenal from an outside perspective and go, oh, you've just signed Joe Linton, £40 million, you've broke your transfer record signing, Arsenal just broke your transfer record signing. But as fans, we do live in a bubble. The problems are away from that, and there is problems at the clubs, aren't there?
Yeah, well, of course. Like, but the thing is we're not saying, we understand that things are worse at Bury or Bolton Wanderers or Blackpool in the past or whatever. Like, we are in the Premier League, but at the minute we're not competing with like the bottom three. Do you know what I mean? In the Premier League, we're not expecting that we're going to be
come up
challenging and, for Europe. We're not expecting that that we're even going to do a Wolves. Like, you know, it seems ridiculous that a team that was in League One two or three seasons ago, we're spending less money than, and we're less attractive to players coming in. But right now, I'd fully admit, same with Leicester. You know, until they won the league, who were Leicester? Like, both those teams. But I'm not saying that we should even be competing with them, to be perfectly honest. This season, but the likes of West Ham, the likes of Southampton, teams like that, that, you know, weren't a million miles away from us last season points wise. And actually, when you look at West Ham last season, Felipe Anderson, for example, they had a couple of flair players and a good manager like Pellegrini. We had Rafa, obviously, but there wasn't anything about West Ham that made you think that is a top side. But we're not even spending more than like Bournemouth on, you know, in over a period of years. I know you can say, look, we've spent money this year. Obviously, we're going to dispute that. Ashley took out a loan in January to buy Almiron. We got £32 million off Iosi Perez and somehow some money off Yosselu. So it's just kind of... I understand why people say, look, you're in the Premier League, stop complaining. But at the same time, if you're going to say your ambition has to be relative to your success, then we have to be spending money as much as the rest of the bottom 10 in the Premier League are.
Yeah, and beyond what we're doing on the pitch, we're signing players, but the stagnation off the pitch. I work at Match of the Day magazine, lucky enough to go around the country and visit training grounds and interview players. Our training ground in Benton is like a squash club. You go to Man City, it's like a university campus. You go to Chelsea, in Cobham. It's like an Alpine lodge. You go to Man United, it's like in Carrington, it's like an Audi showroom. It's like impressive facilities. Oh, it's so basic. It's embarrassing. And then you look at Leicester, have got a new training ground, spent over 100 mil. Brighton have got a new training ground, over 100 mil spent on that. They've appointed Dan Ashworth as their technical director. This is the guy who turned England from going out in the group stages at the 2014 World Cup to, you know, a couple of kicks away from the final of the World Cup. We haven't even got a technical director, as far as I know. Off the pitch, so far behind other clubs like Wolves and Brighton and Bournemouth. So that is the scary thing. And you go to St James's Park, it's tatty. There's mould growing up the walls. You know, the windows aren't clean. There's the paint's flaking off. It's like really scary, the lack of investment that he's put into the club. And that's, we're falling behind on and off the pitch, I think.
And that's what the movement is about. It's just more than transfers and winning games. It's about the club, and it's all relative to the club, whether you're in the bubble or not. Well, next, we are going to be talking about maybe the academy. Ketch didn't mention it there, but the academy could be on the up.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I've been joined by Aaron Stokes, Matt Ketchell from Match of the Day magazine, and Laurie Callis. We was just talking a little bit there about the season coming up, training grounds, how good are they? Newcastle's not at the very top there. We've even been talking boycotts and Matt Ritchie's comments, but we didn't really mention the academy. Now, me and Laurie earlier, we was talking about famous footballing brothers. You've got Gary and Phil Neville, you've got Yaya and Kolo Touré, Rafa and Fabio de Silva, and I say they've got absolutely nothing on Sean and Matty Longstaff. Bring them on. Ant and Dick, don't worry about it. We've got Sean and Matty Longstaff. Talking of Matty Longstaff's goal the other week, what an absolute peach. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, amazing. And I think I should point out as well, I'm from Whitley Bay, which is on the coast of Newcastle. And that's the Longstaffs are from North Shields in North Tyneside.
Oh, he's getting it in now. 6 degrees of separation.
Whitley Bay Warriors. Whitley Bay Warriors, the dad, David Longstaff, was unbelievable. We used to go every Sunday, David Longstaff, England, GB, over 100 caps. We used to go and watch him. Unbelievable. I remember the name Longstaff, David Longstaff. So that's the pedigree that they come from. He could have gone to the
Sporting
NHL.
Family.
He could have gone to the NHL. And he's produced Sean and Matty. We should probably point out as well, this is the most middle-class Newcastle supporter show. We've got Aaron from Gosforth. We've got Laurie from Durham. And me from Whitley Bay. So it's a very middle-class Newcastle show. But the Longstaff brothers from Shields, it's amazing. And it's about time. We haven't produced since Paul Dummett, Andy Carroll, and then all of our other academy prospects just go on and have careers in the lower tiers of Scottish football. So Sean Longstaff's come from nowhere. And I remember seeing him maybe 2016. I went up to the training ground and I was a behind-closed-doors game. They were playing Gateshead and he played up front and he was really tall and he was kind of like Andy Carroll-y. And to be honest, didn't turn any heads. And then he went out to he went on loan up to Scotland, got a few goals from midfield, went up to Blackpool, got even more goals from midfield. And then he was going to go on loan to Portsmouth this time last year. And Rafa, probably, you know, because we didn't sign any players, he probably thought, I actually need bodies here. Bit of luck. And then he's come in at Christmas and he's absolutely fantastic. And I'm hoping that he's still a Newcastle player on Thursday night. And I think he will be, to be honest.
I think they both will be. But I saw this tweet and I want to read it to you. Matty Longstaff was always the brother with the most promise in the youth ranks, but bizarrely, it was as a defensive midfielder, while Sean was more the number 10. They have since traded, in essence, but hopefully the sibling rivalry drives them on and it can kick on for Newcastle. It looks very promising. Is that true?
Yeah, and I don't know if Matty's going to... What he should do is go out on loan, but I don't know if he will. So that's going to be an interesting one to see. And if he stays, you know, to have two brothers in the midfield from the northeast, we would love that. And a Geordie manager as well, Howie.
No, but that's what Newcastle almost do need at the minute. It's players that are local boys to get behind, because there's not really much for them to hold on to at the minute, is there, Aaron?
I think Steve Bruce might be having a little think with himself and thinking, I'm already on the ropes here. You know what I need? I need to maybe just give Matty Longstaff a bit of a, you know, first team run out. Sean's going to play this season, obviously, you know, well, touch wood, if he doesn't go tomorrow, which he probably won't. You know, so if Bruce is probably thinking, give Matty a little push, because Matty has looked good in pre-season. They've both looked, you know, very, very impressive. So if you've got them two in the middle, it's just another thing that Bruce has sort of got on his side, hasn't he? Off, I promote a bit of youth and, you know, I'll get them playing. And then it's sort of another string to his bow. But Matty, for me, obviously I knew of him last season, but I hadn't really seen him until this summer. And he looks very good, very good.
I know it's only pre-season, but we do this every year. You do get excited about academy players, especially one that's a local kid and when his brother's already in the first team. This could be the future of Newcastle, couldn't it, Laurie?
Yeah, absolutely. Excuse me. I mean, you always hear about Elias Sorensen all the time. There's a fan on Twitter like, why is Sorensen not playing? Why is Sorensen not playing? Like, he's not going to play because he hasn't had anywhere near the experience of the other players, especially Sean Longstaff. We know he's been great going to Scotland on loan, and at Blackpool he scored some quality goals. But the thing about Sean and Matty Longstaff that I think is the most encouraging is that they really seem to complement each other as players. They're very different players. As we said, Sean Longstaff now plays a little bit more like a Michael Carrick sort of role, sweeping up, playing a forward pass, whereas Matty Longstaff's almost like an Edgar Davids. He gets about you, he nicks the ball off you, and you know he's a very positive player as well. And obviously, it's always nice to have some of that ultimate team type chemistry between them. If they can really kind of profit off the fact that they're brothers, they've played together a lot in the youth team. I think they're really decent options in the middle. Obviously, Sean's going to start this season, but when you look at the rest of our central midfield, yes, Isaac Hayden played a blinder last season. Yes, Jonjo Shelvey on his day can play a great pass. Key's not a bad operator when he comes in, can take a free kick. But you wouldn't say that any of them are irreplaceable, in my opinion. And I would say that, as Aaron said, like giving them to a run in the team is going to really get the fans behind them. And they both seem talented enough that they're not going to be daunted by being in the first team. And really, they're going to breed confidence off one another by playing alongside each other. And what's better than two players who've been brought up in Newcastle playing for Newcastle United? Like they're going to give 110% every single week out on the pitch, irrespective of who the manager is, irrespective of who the owner is.
Laurie said the P word there. Profit. Mike Ashley's going to hear that and he's going to go, how much do we pay for the Longstaff? Oh, for the academy products, £50 million for Man United. Mm. So that is the bittersweet. We were a stepping stone. So that would be the heartbreaking thing for us to not see those players in the peak. You know, so Michael Carrick, who never even came near us, Gaza, Waddle, Beardsley, all left us when before they hit their peak. So that would be tragic if that happened.
Just another thing is that, as Laurie said there, none of those midfielders are untouchable, which is again the problem. Newcastle really shouldn't really be having to push Matty Longstaff into the first team now. He should go on loan and get some first-team experience. But because we haven't signed, and we probably won't sign a centre midfielder tomorrow, Bruce probably needs him just purely for numbers. If he's probably looking and thinking, I've either got Jack Colback or Matty Longstaff, I'm just going to pick Matty Longstaff. So that again lies the problem in Mike Ashley. It's all well and good having these academy prospects coming through, but we should have, as a Premier League club, two centre midfielders that you think, right, they cannot leave the team. Do you know what I mean?
I think we're okay in centre mid, though. Don't you think? We've got like Hayden's there. We've got we've got Longstaff. We've got Henri Savé's there. I think we've actually got bodies in centre mid, so maybe he could go out on loan.
Yeah.
And obviously Longstaff as well. So there's four there, I think, who could play. So maybe Longstaff, Matty, could go, but we'll see.
Well, 21 hours till the window closes. Last week when we spoke, Newcastle have actually made some more signings, but Steve Bruce still said he wants three or four more bodies in. Ketchu said we don't need that many more bodies in midfield. Can Newcastle actually sign some more players before this window closes?
I find it hard to think that we'll sign the type of player that we probably need to sign. We've had some weird rumours we were talking before about Stephen Corker at centre-back. That's somewhere we absolutely don't need to sign, in my opinion. We've got plenty of strength.
He's revitalised in Turkey.
Which is yeah, from six games for Antalyaspor. I don't even know how you pronounce it. I think what we need really is more creativity going forward, just options. Probably a winger, ideally a striker. I mean, people are tied over whether Dwight Gayle's good enough to fall back on. Personally, I don't think he is. Like, he's had a lot of chances in the Premier League. Remember, he played for Crystal Palace for a long time. Did sometimes do well as an impact sub, but for me, he finds his peak as a Championship striker. A very good Championship striker, but I think he is a Championship striker. Personally, it's a risk on Joel Linton. He looks good early on, but that's the thing. You want someone behind him who you can think will bring him on. Muto looks all right. He didn't have much of a chance. But personally, I'd really like us to get another centre forward or maybe a winger. I don't know how likely it is. We just look like we're getting a right back in today. But I just can't see us strengthening in those forward areas where we might really need some strength and depth.
Because fans are always thirsty for transfer news. We know that. Who are we going to sign? It's very big on Twitter, social media. The slightest rumour, it goes, man. Laurie, you told me that a lot of Newcastle fans were getting very excited about a young player that was photographed at the Stadium or the training ground. And what's the story? Ended up being a Newcastle player already, one of the under-23s.
Yeah, I think it was just typical Newcastle Twitter where there was this photo that's gone round of a lad holding his shirt at St James's Park. Everyone's like, who is this? Who's it going to be? There's mad rumours going around. People's like, oh, it's Moussa Marega from Porto. Then someone's looking on the Porto Twitter to see what squad they've taken out for their Champions League qualifier off in Turkey or something. Turns out it wasn't him. It was a centre-back we were signing for the under-23s or something. But I just
have you seen his name, by the way? You know what he's called?
No, go for it.
Ludwig Francilletti.
That is a good name.
French 20-year-old development squad player.
Going to be a struggle to get
come
a song.
Come on.
Going to be a star.
War Ludwig.
Well, there you have it. 20 hours until the transfer window closes. Can Newcastle add any more faces? But the Premiership does kick off on Sunday, and they're playing Arsenal. Love Sport. You're listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I've been joined by Aaron Stokes, Laurie Callis, and Matt Ketchell from Match of the Day magazine. Now, we did just say 21 hours till the transfer window closes. We are going to, of course, be talking about Newcastle-Arsenal, the first game of the Premiership season at St James's Park on Sunday at 2 o'clock. But there is still time to make signings. Ketch, Aaron, we know what Newcastle need, but will they buy? And will they be almost panic buyers, desperate buyers, or are these players that have been scattered? What do Newcastle need?
I personally think there'll be two in tomorrow. I think, obviously, Emil Kraft's obviously looking like it's already done. He was at the training ground today doing his medical. That'll probably be, if it isn't announced tonight, that'll be early tomorrow. I think, and this might just be a bit of optimism because of what happened last week, but I think there has been stuff going on behind the scenes. I think there may be one more attacker coming in. You just had to look last week. Jethro Williams sort of came out of nowhere. It was one of those where, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning it surfaces and everyone's like, oh, well, he's been linked with us for 6 years. It's never going to happen. And then, you know, he was at the training ground. So I think there's been stuff going on.
I love that you was at services for that story when you painted that picture. Just at the services.
But I think there'll be one more. I think there's talk of maybe a Patrick Schiff from Roma maybe coming in, which would be a good signing. But I think, you know, talk of Stephen Corker, I don't think we'll strengthen at centre-back, and especially not with Corker. Like, you know, Ketch touched on, I don't think Bruce will go for another centre midfielder. So I think if he's going to bring another one in, it'll be an attacking player. And we do probably need another centre-forward because there is the argument of, is Dwight Gayle good enough to be a backup striker in the Premier League anymore? So I think if it was up to me, I would obviously, you know, Kraft's coming in and then it would be another attacker.
Yeah, and I think we could probably do with a left back. I think Richie's picked up an injury. He's approaching 30. He's not probably going to be able to do a full season. And the backup there seems to be Rolando Ahrens, who was with Steve Bruce at Chef Wed last season. He was actually in Czech Republic as well at a club. So I'd like to see a left back. Why aren't we making more use of the loan market? I'm sure Ashley would be all over that, get another loan in. You know, the lads at I know the lads at Chelsea aren't really, but you know, the young lads at Liverpool and Arsenal and Man United, someone exciting like that. And I would like to see us you know, harvesting the Championship. You know, James Maddison for me was one of the best signings of last season, and he's doubled his value at least before he's done. So let's, you know, spend a bit of money. All of a sudden there's bodies coming in. We're signing players left, right and centre. Why wasn't this happening in January or this time last year when Rafa Benitez was our manager? That's what frustrates me. All of a sudden Steve Bruce has got this blank checkbook. That frustrates me. But I'd like to see another loan in, but you know, maybe so a younger player who's come up through the leagues. You know, I like the lads who've done the journey from non-league to up to the Championship, or even just started in League One. I like, they've got a bit of grit about them, and I think that would be a good shout.
Is that difficult though, Ketch? Because then when you do loan a player from the Championship or sign a young kid, the fans go, oh, another young kid, another player that needs to develop, a signing from the Championship. We're Newcastle, we want more ambition, we want to sign these marquee players.
Yeah, that's where we're at. We have to loan players. We loaned Kennedy from Chelsea last season. That is the level we are at. He does it on the cheap, Mike Ashley. You've been to his shops. He does it on the cheap, and loans. He should be all over loans. You know, try before you buy. That's the kind of thing that I think we should be doing. But I'd like to see us take a risk on some Championship players.
Yeah, I do think it can be frustrating if it seems like all your signings young players who haven't necessarily been proven in the Premier League, because then you think, what are you falling back on? But like, you could say that about a lot of our signings, really, that, you know, they are risks. So, yeah, I think the thing is about the difference between Steve Bruce and Rafa Benitez, which Ketch touched on, is, you know, why is Steve Bruce getting this money when Rafa didn't? First of all, I don't think they're Steve Bruce's signings. Some people do, some people don't. I don't personally.
I
but
agree.
I think the bigger thing there is that for Mike Ashley, Rafa Benitez was that security blanket, so he didn't have to go out and spend all that money because he was relatively confident that Rafa Benitez was good enough to keep us up with the players that we had because he saw it the season before. Whereas now, he's maybe got, if reports have believed, is 11th choice manager, someone who, as we've said earlier, doesn't have a very good Premier League record. All of a sudden, the manager who's in place doesn't have that ability to naturally keep us up with necessarily with what is really a championship squad. So he's almost been forced to spend money. And so I don't think it's like, oh, he's given Steve Bruce money and he wasn't given Rafa money. I think he's like, I need to give Steve Bruce money, otherwise we're not going to be in the Premier League next season.
It's like Steve McLaren all over again. McLaren came in that summer and we spent, you know, 50 million, and then because it was all going terribly wrong, we spent another however much in January. So it is quite baffling to, you know, you've got Benitez who, with, you know, armed with the right tools, could have probably progressed us up, you know, further than 10th, wasn't given it, and now we've got Bruce and McLaren getting just money piled at them, you know, 40 million signings, 20 million signings. It's just another sort of level of Mike Ashley that we just will never understand. Just don't know how his brain works.
He's getting money, but supposedly we hear that those signings would have been made under Rafa, but Rafa didn't want to sign those players, did he? So he potentially had that checkbook, but it wasn't the players that he necessarily wanted to sign, and the players he did want to sign, he couldn't with the money that was being given to him. That is also a problem. Steve Bruce fits in with fitting under that Ashley agenda for the players that he wants to sign. This is a problem as well. How much control does Mike Ashley have? I do want to quickly ask you, three keepers going into the Premier League season, are you set on those three keepers? Because none of them, to me, you're going to know more as a Newcastle fan, scream unbelievable number one. We're really happy with any of those three keepers.
Really?
Yeah.
Dubravka, I'd have him in the top three in the league.
Definitely.
He is unbelievable keeper. PSG are in for him. He's absolutely fantastic, Dubravka. He can play out. He's cool. He's calm. He's collected. He's one of the best signings that we've made, and he is absolutely number one. The other two are cannon fodder. Really, they're just there for backup, and I think they both know that. Rob Elliott, I think, is happy to sit there, let his contract roll out, and walk his dogs on Colour Codes Beach. Darlow might get itchy feet. The best thing is Woodman going out on loan. But the worry with Woodman is, so England under 21 keeper, I think he's just going to run his contract out, and we'll probably lose him for free. We've go to Arsenal, where his dad's a coach, Pardew's mate Andy Woodman. But Dubravka, honestly, he's one of the best goalkeepers in the league for me. He's absolutely
for
fantastic.
£4 million.
Four
well.
Million, yeah. That's
I'm not sold on him, but if you three, I'm going to go with you for this season. We'll see. I don't know how I feel about that. It's a strong statement. Top three. If PSG wanted him, they could have signed him. They are not short of money, so we'll see about that. I'm sure Newcastle it wouldn't have taken a lot, but if you're telling me he's in the top three and he can play out from the back the Man City way, then we'll go with it. Let's quickly talk about the Arsenal game now, because it is the first of Premier League games. How are you feeling going into the new season, and what is kind of your score prediction for Sunday?
I've got absolutely no idea how Sunday's going to go.
Wow, well, that's the end of that then, isn't it?
That's the beauty of it. But who can call it? Arsenal, you've changed it. You've changed it around. You haven't strengthened the defence. It could be a really mad game, actually.
Goals. It's just got goals written all over it.
Yeah, I think so. Especially if Newcastle score first and Arsenal have to come out. But honestly, you can't. We've got nothing to read into it. Really, we've got a few games. You know, Hibs and
Saint Etienne.
Like it's really tricky to read how this is going to go. And I'm sure the atmosphere is great, but throw it into a Premier League scenario, it's a totally different kettle of fish.
We were talking, me and my friends yesterday, about how you would go into like a game against a top six club with Rafa Benitez, and even if the football wasn't the best and it was, you know, a bit defensive, it could get to 80 minutes and you could still be in the game. Just look at the teams we used to beat at St James's under Rafa: City, United, Arsenal. Going into this game on Sunday with Bruce, I don't have the same feeling. I can't see us getting to 80 minutes and not having conceded. So for me, I mean, I'm not going into any confidence. I'm more intrigued to see how many fans are there, really. That for me, I'm just really confused as to how many are going to go. But on the pitch, I'm not very confident.
The other thing I would say about that is, I don't really want us to be comparing the start of last season to the start of this season, because it's actually, if you look at the results, quite misleading, the start of last season, because we played some really good games. Against Tottenham, we should have got points. Against Chelsea, we should have got points.
Cardiff.
There was some... Yeah, well, that was that penalty, wasn't it, from Kennedy, missed in the last minute. Horrific. But I just think that, you know, the main difference is that we're still in those games against the big teams, but, you know, if we're three or four down within 25 minutes maybe against
you
some of these teams.
You can come back. You've done it against Arsenal. You were 4-0 down after 26 minutes before.
That's true. That was an unbelievable game. I would never hold out confidence if we were 4-0 down that we would come back.
Lightning, can it strike twice? Happy with a point this weekend?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
100%, yeah.
Well, the Newcastle fans, they are saying they are happy with a point. The game is this Sunday, Newcastle versus Arsenal. What's going to happen? Either way, it doesn't matter what happens because we want Mike Ashley out.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.